Hello, everybody. This is Bible teacher Mark Browning. We're coming to you once again Thursday night, March the 19th at my office here in Sierra Vista. We're busy doing taxes, but we're still interested in giving you a Bible lesson so you can learn from the Word of God. Some of you might notice that my background's a little different. My YouTube guy sent us some backgrounds to you, so I hope that looks more interesting to you than the back wall of my office. So anyway, I want to remind everybody once again that if you want to get connected to this ministry and stay connected to this ministry, the best thing to do is to go to our website, lifeinchristchurch.net, and it'll tell you how to watch us on YouTube. It'll tell you how to listen to any of the previous Bible lessons by audio, and it'll show you how to print out these lesson sheets. Currently, we're talking about five steps to Christian success, and we're spending quite a bit of time on step number three about finding out who you are in Christ. The first step to Christian success is you have to become a new creature in Christ. You have to get a brand new nature. We're born with the wrong nature, and we got to get the nature of God. And the way you get the nature of God is to believe in His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, and thank God the Bible says that whoever calls on His name will be saved. The second step is you need to be filled with the Spirit. Jesus said that there was a second work of grace that was necessary, and He told His disciples to wait in Jerusalem until they were filled with the Spirit, and then they could be witnesses all over the world. And so that's a second work of grace. And one of the defining characteristics, it's not the only defining characteristics, but one of the defining characteristics of being filled with the Spirit is praying with other tongues as the Spirit gives you utterance. Again, all of these things that we've taught, steps one and step two, you can find on past audios, or you can find on past YouTube lessons if you want to go back and listen to more of those. We're currently on step number three, and that's finding out who you are in Christ. And this will be our third class about that, because we're in conjunction with about finding out who you are in Christ. We're talking about 10 things that the Bible tells us we are in Christ. So I'm going to come back to that. The fourth step to Christian success is you got to do what the Word of God says do. Now, you know, that makes sense in the natural realm. You know, if you want to make a living, you got to go do something. If you want to get in a better physical condition, you got to go do something. If you want to learn a new subject or learn a new profession, you got to go do something. That's just basic fundamental truth. And it's the same thing with the Word of God. The Word of God says this is what you should do, then you should do it. It's not random. Life's not a random thing. God's not mysteriously manipulating and controlling you. You're the sum total of decisions you've made or decisions someone else made for you. That's what your life's about. And so the more decisions you make that are in line with God's Word, the better your life will be. That's another Bible lesson that I'm known for. And that'll probably be the next lesson we do on the internet, the decision-making process. And then the fifth thing is you have to stay connected to the vine. Don't turn loose. Don't let the devil talk you out of turning away from Christianity. Don't say, well, you know, I'm sinning, and so I must not be a believer. Everybody I know is a hypocrite, or, you know, there are all kinds of reasons, or, you know, people don't like me anymore. Well, stay connected to Jesus, stay committed, and fight the good fight of faith, because the Bible says that God doesn't take pleasure in those who turn back, but He takes pleasure in those of us who believe to the saving of our soul. So let's get back down to step number three. And we've told you in step number three that there's 10 things that I've written down that you are in Christ. And last week we titled the sermon, Let's Get Up, because these 10 things that you are in Christ, on purpose, I gave three Bible verses for all the things you are in Christ. And purposely, I put the three verses that backs up what you are. Every one of those are found in the epistles. That's a fancy word for letter. Those are letters that the apostles wrote to us to let us know who we are in Christ. The Old Testament is God-breathed, it's God-inspired, but it's incomplete. You need the New Testament to get the complete story, to find out what the life, the death, the resurrection, and the return up to heaven, what all that meant for us. And so where you're going to find that information And where you're going to find it out in its completeness is in the letters these folks wrote to us. Paul's letters, there's 13 of them, if you give him credit for the book of Hebrews. And then James wrote a letter. Peter wrote two letters. John the Apostle wrote 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John. And then Jude wrote a letter. Jude and James were Jesus's half-brothers. So all my Catholic friends, I like to remind you that there's not a bit of sense in the world, and there's no place in Scripture for worshiping Mary and praying to Mary. You need to pray to the living God in the name of Jesus, because Mary was like us. Now, she did a great and amazing thing. She had Jesus, and she received the word the angel Gabriel gave to her, and she allowed Jesus to be placed into her womb, and she gave birth to the Son of God. She gave birth to the word of God with the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Bible teaches, this is incredible. This is absolutely incredible. This is why it's worth coming to these Bible classes. And this is why it's worth hooking up to somebody that can teach the Bible a little bit, because it's absolutely incredible to know that the Creator, all this stuff you see behind me, this background, these mountains, these branches and all this stuff behind me and all that, the plants and all that, that was all made by Jesus. The Bible says he made all things, and without him, nothing was made that was made. And he was born of the Virgin, because he couldn't have man's DNA in him. He had to come with God's blood in him, and he had to come and live a perfect sinless life and fulfill the law and the prophets. And that way, when he went on that cross and his blood was spilled, it was sinless blood. And that blood redeems anybody that'll receive it. It'll cause you to become a new creature. It'll cause you to become a member of the household of faith. It'll cause you to be able to say to God, Abba, Father. And that's so wonderful. That is so beautiful. So anyway, the 10 things that you are in Christ, we've talked about four of them in. We talked about the fact that you're born again. You're not the same person you used to be. And we're also reminding you that these things that you are in Christ happen to your spirit man. You're not two parts. Psychology teaches people that they're two parts. Everybody knows you have a mind and you have emotions and you have feelings. And so we call that our soul. And psychologists teach that you have a soul and a body. But the Bible teaches that you are a spirit. You have a soul, and your spirit and your soul live in your body. And I'm not going to go back again. You got to go and listen to some of these things for yourself. That's in 1 Thessalonians 5:23. But the reason why we're not like animals, the reason why we're different, there's several reasons, but the main reason we're not like dogs and cats and horses and donkeys and giraffes is they are soul and body, but we have a spirit. God is a spirit. John 4:24, Jesus told the woman at the well of Samaria, God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. And so all these wonderful things we're talking about, God imparted those into our human spirit, and we became a new creature, and we're fully grown in Christ. We're born again. We're made in true righteousness and holiness. You can't do anything to earn righteousness or to earn holiness. The moment that you try to do something to earn righteousness or to earn holiness, you have moved over into religion, and religion will kill you. Religion is the most awful thing there is, because it's man's futile attempt to reach God. And religion causes people to be proud. It doesn't cause people to be humble. It causes people to think they're better than somebody else. But all of us, the Bible says, all of us have sinned. All of us have the wrong nature. All of us need redemption. And the person that brings that redemption to us is Jesus Christ. I like to throw all that in every time I get a chance to talk, because again, I've got all kinds of people listening to me. I got people that don't know a thing in the world about the Bible. I got some people that know a lot about the Bible. I've got some people that know something about the Bible. And so I want to deal with people as best I can and try to meet people where they are, because some people don't even know that I'm reading out of the Bible. They don't even know that these books are in the Bible. So first thing some of you need to do is get a Bible, I remember when we first started having some Bible studies in our house, because I got some really fired up folk that were interested in learning and knowing about God. Oh, they've been so fun to be with. But really what we kind of started out with was just the table of contents. and getting people familiar with the Bible, because it's broken into the Old Testament and the New Testament. And so you need to know the books in the Bible, and the epistles are the letters in the New Testament. And so that's where we're finding all this stuff out. The second thing we found out is we're righteous. I'm not going to spend too much time going back because I won't get to my other ones. The third thing we found out is we're delivered. And then the fourth thing we found out is we're blessed with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Again, all these things, all these four things I've talked about in the last two Bible lessons. So you can go back on YouTube and watch them. Click the like button, make a comment, do some things to keep that YouTube channel activated and interesting to people. Now, today, I'm probably only going to get to two more today. So I'm going to get to five and six. The fifth thing that you are, if you're in Christ, is you're loved. And so Ephesians 2:4 makes this amazing statement. Ephesians 2:4 makes this amazing statement. It says, but God, who is rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us. See, God was moved to save us, not out of a sense of obligation, but because he loved us, because we're his prized possession. You know, I'm going to fit this in. This would be a really good spot to fit this in. I go to a church in Queen Creek called Sun Valley Community Church. And this past Sunday, the minister was talking about the story of creation. And he was talking about Jesus being made flesh and dwelling among us. And he gave a great illustration. I'm going to share it, but I want to make sure I give him credit. His name, Robert Watson, Dr. Watson. Wasn't that, that was Sherlock Holmes' assistant, Watson. But anyway, he brought this point out in the story of Jesus becoming flesh. He went back to Genesis and he pointed out the fact that when God made the land, he put plants from the land, plants grew, daisies and corn and turnips and potatoes and dandelions. I can't think of some plants. But anyway, without the land, the plants die. So the plants need the land. And he gave an illustration at the church. And then the other thing he talked about was that fish, when God made the water, he put beautiful fish in it. I was taking a little break from taxes yesterday. And I'll go on YouTube every now and then, and I'll just put the TV on. They'll have some beautiful scenery where you can just kind of close your eyes and relax. And they were showing all the beautiful fish that are in the ocean, and clownfish and sharks and sea turtles and dolphins and every kind of color. I mean, man, God's amazing. If we could just get our mind and heart around that and understand that, man, faith would be so easy. You know, we just get all caught up in the natural, and we look around us and we don't understand. We've been lied to by so many people. The devil is a master liar. He's a lying doll. You didn't evolve. We didn't happen over billions of years because of some big bang theory. We're not self-created. A wonderful, loving, kind creator made all this stuff. And the main reason he made it, was to give it to the man, that was made in his image. See, God's a spirit and we're spirits. I don't know if I brought that out when I was talking about dogs and horses and cats. See, we're not like them. We have a spirit. And that's the part that God communicates with us, is in our spirit. And that's the reason why the word of God is so important, because Jesus said that God's word is spirit and life. The Bible is spirit food, just like corn on the cob's food for the body. We need God's word to feed our spirits, to enrich our inner man, because God's a spirit. And the Spirit of God made all of the stuff he made through Jesus. When God said, let there be light. When God said, let there be grass. When God said, land. When God said, let there be water. Jesus is the one that did it. He performed it. He was the word. And so all these beautiful fish are in the water. But guess what? If you take the fish out of the water and don't get them back in the water, the fish dies. Just like the plants need the land, the fish need the water. Well, when it came time for God to make man, he pulled man from himself. He said, let us make man in our own image. Let him have dominion over everything we make. And he breathed into him in Genesis chapter 2. He breathed into man the breath of life. And so just like plants can't live without the land, And fish can't live without the water. Man can't live without God. And that was what happened to us in the Garden of Eden. We disconnected from God through sin. The devil did it all. He deceived us. He's a thief. He's a tempter. He's a liar. And he got in the garden and deceived us. And we disconnected from God. And we became dead in our spirits. We became dead to God. And all we do without our spirits being made alive, without being born again and becoming new creatures, is all we operate with is with our soul and our body. And you can't please God by operating from your soul and your body. Remember, Jesus said, God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. Now, that's some deep stuff I'm giving you right there. And that takes some thought, and that's a reason why I want you to humble yourself sometime and not just listen to these things once or twice, or hook up with us during our Bible classes on Monday. And if you got questions or you're confused about something, that's when we can deal with it and help you. So God didn't save us because he felt obligated to do it. He saved us because he created us to be connected to himself. See, God is love. 1 John 4:8. God is love, and love is patient. Love is kind. Love is not self-seeking. Love is long-suffering. Love believes the best of every person. Love is not jealous. It's not envious. And this God that is love made us to be connected to him, because without God, we die on the inside. Just like plants die if they don't stay connected to the land, and fish die if they don't stay connected to the water, we die if we don't stay connected to God. So God did something. He wasn't going to let that be. And so he was motivated to love us and send Jesus to us. And I'm going to read that to you out of some of these other verses. But that's what that means in Ephesians 2:4, when it says that we're loved. It says, but God, who is rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us. Now, go over to 1 John 4, and you're going to get a clearer understanding of what I'm talking about. See, God wasn't going to be satisfied until he could make right what we made wrong. God wasn't going to be satisfied. 1 John 4. Now watch this now. You know what? I'm going to pick it up in verse 7, because we're talking about love. And so you are loved. Somebody said, I don't feel love. I don't think anybody loves me. God loves you. And God's love's not a feeling. God's love's a fact, you know? And part of growing up is learning that. And part of being in a relationship with somebody, every husband and wife out there, if they're honest, and I guess you're going to have to admit I'm somewhat honest. Every husband and wife out there, we don't walk around all the time feeling in love, but we trust that we trust the love that we have for our spouse, and we demonstrate it by staying committed and stay connected to them. See, nobody would stay married if they were waiting to always feel lovey-dovey. No, you stay married because you've made a commitment to it. And you got to make a commitment to what God says about you in the Word of God. And you got to just believe what this God says about you. See, that's the central thing about all this stuff we're talking about, is you have to understand that God's already done all this stuff. Now, listen to me now. I've heard some good preaching this week by a fellow by the name of Jim Baker, not the Jim Baker that fell with Tammy, not Jim and Tammy, not that Jim Baker. This is another Jim Baker that's hooked up with Andrew Womack, and he taught some classes at Cares Bible College. See, faith doesn't move God. God's not looking at you and waiting for you to get a certain level of faith, and then boom, he's going to move. Faith simply appropriates what God's already done. Faith moves in the direction of what God's already done for you, and you simply believe it and receive it into your life. You believe first, and then you receive. That's part of Mark 11:24. What things soever you ask when you pray, believe that you receive, and you will have. The translators added the word them in there. It's believe and receive. So you go to God and you believe what he's already provided for you, and then you receive it into your life. If the Word of God says he loves you, if the Word of God says he has great love for you, believe it, you receive it, and then you operate it into your life, regardless of how you feel. Amen. Now, listen, anybody that tells you that anybody has this down 100% is lying. And one of the things I try to always tell people is, I'm not always doing this stuff, but I'm trying to always put out the right information. Amen. So look what it says. Let's look at 1 John 4, verse 7. It says, beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. He who does not love does not know God, for God is love. Now listen to verse 9. This is what I'm telling you. See, God made man, and man apart from God is dead. Man can't live without God. God made us to be dependent upon him because we're a spirit. He's a spirit. We're a spirit. And we need our spirits to connect. Verse 9, in this, the love of God was manifested toward us, that God has sent his only begotten son into the world that we might live through him. See, we lose the death in our spirit and we receive the life of God. We receive eternal life. That's what Jesus said. See, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son that whoever believes in him will not perish, but have everlasting life. We pass from death to life. We reconnect with our creator. See, it says that God has sent his only begotten son into the world that we might live through him. This is love, not that we love God. See, we weren't seeking God. And this is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his son to be the atoning sacrifice for our sins. See that? Now, this is 1 John 4, 7, 8, 9, and 10. If you're kind of trying to keep track and you want to go back and look these things up. And then he closes out his thought here in verse 19. We love him because he first loved us. See, the initiation, the contact, the love was presented to us. And because we experience that love, then we can love God back. You can't love something that doesn't love you. It's hard to love something that doesn't love you. But we love him because he first loved us. I'm going to go to one more verse on this subject, and then I want to go to the next thing that we are, because I know I'm going to spend at least one more Bible class on it. Look what it says in Romans chapter 5, verse 5. You got your shouting clothes on? Or pay attention to this. It says, now hope does not disappoint. Why? Because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts, and that's including our spirit man. The love of God has been poured out in our hearts. How? By the Holy Spirit who was given to us. Meditate on that. Think on that. I got to do it all the time. I do. I don't do it enough. We got to learn to lay in bed at night and just think about how much God loves us, what he did and proved that he loved us by sending Jesus. We got to feed our faith on that, feed our minds on that truth, and starve our doubts about all the negativity and all the rotten stuff that's going on in this world, the sewage of the world. And we need to focus on the love of God and understand that we're in the kingdom. Listen, we're in the kingdom of the Son of God's love. Amen. Amen. So, man, I mean, really, because we're in about a 40 to 45 minute class here, I'm going to go on to something else, but I want you not to turn loose of that. And I want you to meditate on those scriptures. That's Ephesians 2, 4. That's 1 John 4, 7 through 10. And that's Romans 5, 5. Now, the sixth thing that we are in Christ is we're healed. And I'm going to do something because I told you I'm reading all these verses out of the epistles. And so the first place I'm going to take you to is 1 Peter 2:24, but then I'm going to actually go to a scripture in the gospel, and then I'm going to go to Isaiah, because this is one of the ministries that God's called me to, is to remind people, listen to me now, I'm going to remind you, God's not the one making you sick. God doesn't want you sick. God doesn't want you depressed. God doesn't want you in pain. God is not the author of those things. He sent his word to heal us, Psalm 107:20. So I'm going to start in the epistle and tell you what it says in 1 Peter 2:24. It says, who himself bore our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, having died to sins, might live for righteousness. Listen to this. By whose stripes you were healed. Last part of that verse says, by whose stripes you were healed. Now, He's quoting a passage in Isaiah 53. But before we go to Isaiah 53, I want you to look at Matthew 8:17. And then I'm going to try to be honest about some things about this healing business, because most people aren't going to get to a place where they can get healed by the power of God, because it's going to require you to walk by faith and not by sight. It's going to require you to believe that you're healed just as much as you believe that you're saved. I'm believing that most of the people that are listening to me have made a commitment to the Lord relative to salvation. But a lot of the mainstream church and a lot of the evangelical Protestant churches don't talk about physical healing, because they see people that don't seem to receive the manifestation. So they make up doctrines like, well, God must want them sick, or it's a mystery why they're not healed, or we'll find that out when we get to heaven. But it's no different than being saved. There's a lot of people that are going to church, sitting in our pews, that really have never experienced the salvation experience. They've never really become a new creature in Christ. But see, we can't see that. So we don't judge that the way we judge sickness and disease. We can still see somebody still hurting, somebody still with cancer, somebody still with heart disease, somebody still having trouble breathing, somebody still having headaches. But I'm telling you that God cares about the total man. And Jesus didn't just die for our sins, but he bore stripes for our healing. That's the reason he bore those stripes. That's the reason why he was by that old rotten Pontius Pilate. Amen. So when in Matthew 18:17, he makes this statement. It says that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, he himself took our infirmities. Talking about Jesus now, listen. That it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, he himself took our infirmities and bore our sicknesses. Now see, nobody has any problem if I tell you that he bore our sins. See, nobody, I'm talking about true, genuine, evangelical, born and charismatic, word of Pentecostal, word of faith people, they don't have any problem when you say to them, Jesus bore our sins. But this verse says, he himself took our infirmities and bore our sicknesses. See, just like you got to meditate what I talked about earlier about the love of God, and you got to meditate on the fact that God loves you. And when I say that, I'm talking to me again. I look forward to these Bible lessons just as much as the rest of you, because I need to hear it just like you do. I've been doing tax returns all day. My mind's been on IRS tax codes all day, dealing with people. But see, I got to meditate on this. Matthew 18:17 says, not only did he bear our sins, but it says he himself took our infirmities and bore our sicknesses. And he's quoting Isaiah. Well, if you go to Isaiah 53, you'll find something interesting. And this is something that really helps me too. He's quoting Isaiah 53, and he's quoting Isaiah verse 4. Now, notice Matthew says, he himself took our infirmities and bore our sicknesses. And notice he says that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet. But when I go back to my Bible, the New King James Version of the Bible, and I look at Isaiah 53:4, it says, surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. So not only, listen, this is what's so good news for me. Not only did he take our infirmities and bear our sicknesses. See, the Old Testament was written in Hebrew. The New Testament was written mostly in Greek. And so the English language only has certain words that they can translate when there's several meanings for a certain Greek or Hebrew word. So when Isaiah said, surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, it also means surely he has borne our infirmities and carried our sicknesses, or borne our sicknesses and carried our infirmity. Or you can also put this in here. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. There's a lot of people that are walking around with broken hearts and that are overcome with grief over life circumstances. The devil just putting stuff in your head, or tragedies in your life, or disappointments in your life. Well, Jesus bore that. Jesus did something about that. It says the chastisement of our peace was put on him. Well, he was chastised so we could have peace. That's one of the great characteristics of the Christian life, is that we have peace with God and we have peace in our heart. And if we get around the right people and we learn the message of grace, we'll find out there's no condemnation, that God loves us. If he loved me when I was a rank sinner, and he loved me enough so I could give my life to Jesus. He loves me even more now that I'm committed and connected to the Lord. See that? And so we can say it like this. He himself took our infirmities. He himself bore our sicknesses, and he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrow. Think about that. Meditate on that. And so the number one assignments that I've had as a minister of the gospel, and it hasn't made me well-liked, and a lot of people don't like me talking about it like I do, but I'm here to tell you that not only if you read the four gospels and if you read the rest of the New Testament, Jesus Christ went about doing good and healing all people that were oppressed by the devil. And that Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John tell stories after story where Jesus healed people. And he said that he healed people because it was what the Father wanted him to do. Let me see if I can find that verse in John 10:37. He did that because that's what the Father wanted him to do. See, Jesus, listen, I'm not going to get much further than this today, so I want to make sure you understand something. Jesus is the exact representation of God the Father. The Bible says in the book of Hebrews that in times past, God spoke to us by the prophets, but he has in these last days. This is Hebrews chapter 1, verses 1 to 3. But it says he has in these last days spoken to us by his Son, by whom he made the worlds and created all things, and saying that Jesus is the express image of God the Father. Jesus told Philip, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. So whatever Jesus did was the will of God. And that's what's so sad about the modern church is that people don't know that the church ought to be the place that they ought to be able to come to for us to heal. And yes, I said that the way I wanted to say it. The church ought to be the place that we can come to get healed. Because Jesus told us, see, he's not here anymore. He told us to lay hands on the sick and they would recover. See, he told us. And then he said, the same works that I do, will you do also? And greater works than these you'll do because I go to my Father. The greater work is he couldn't get anybody born again in his physical walk because he hadn't ascended and he hadn't died for our sins and he hadn't been raised from the dead for our justification. He has now done that, and now we can not only tell people that they can be healed by the power of God, but now we can tell people that they can be saved and they become a new creature in Christ. And that's the greatest work there is. To have a brand new spirit and to pass from death to life is the greatest thing there is. But we still should be talking about physical healing to the church community, to the outside world. We would draw way more people into our conversations if we would show them that God's the same yesterday, today, and forever. But see, we don't believe the scripture that says by his stripes we were healed. We don't believe when it says he himself took our infirmities and bore our sicknesses. But that's just as much the Bible as John 3:16 that says that God loved us so much that he saved us. Well, he loved us so much that he healed us. But in order to see a manifestation of that, listen, let me get back to that principle that I talked to you earlier about. See, you can't think that God is going to heal you or that you had to get good enough to get healed. Just like if you've really been taught the true salvation message, you know you can't get good enough to get saved. And you know that God isn't going to save you. You know that Jesus died 2,000 years ago, bled on a cross 2,000 years ago, paid for your sins 2,000 years ago, was buried and rose from the dead 2,000 years ago. He's not going to ever do that again. The book of Hebrews says he's never going to do that again. And so when somebody comes down to the altar to get saved, we don't say, we got to ask God if he wants to heal you. Or save you, and you got to do certain things to get saved. No. Say, well, brother and sister, thank you for coming down and receiving the grace of God, because 2,000 years ago, he saved you, and he's not going to suffer ever again. And let me tell you something else. He's never going to bear stripes on his back again. He's never going to get scourged again. So you have to get to a place where you come to God not only knowing that he's your savior. Listen to me. Oh, this is really good. And again, I'm talking to me. I'm not talking down to anybody. I have to listen to this stuff for myself. See, you don't come to God and wonder, is he going to heal me? You don't come to God wondering, have I done enough right things to get healed? You come to God knowing that He's already healed, and you simply appropriate that, and you simply meditate on that and focus on that and lay your hand on the body part that's not working. And you say, Hey, listen here, headache. Jesus bore that. Jesus carried that. Grief and sorrow you're dealing with. You say, hey, listen here. Jesus bore that grief and carried that sorrow. See, we don't look at that like that. The first thing we do is we head to a doctor, and nothing wrong with that. If a medical doctor can make you better, that's fine and dandy. But it's because we don't even think to go to God and say, I know you've healed me, Lord, just like I know you saved me. And so I've been trying to tell people that it'll be 30 years on September the 22nd, 2026. It'll be 30 years that I've told people that. And some people get happy about it, but a lot of people get discouraged about it because they find out about this, but then they stay sick and they don't get better. And they think, well, there wasn't anything to that. But you see, faith works the same in every arena. Don't ever forget that. Faith works the same. Your faith is not causing God to save you. Your faith is appropriating what God already did when He decided to save you 2,000 years ago. Same way with healing. Same way if you got a financial need. Same way if you're depressed. Same way if you're in strife. You have to understand that all that stuff was taken care of in Jesus. All those things were taken care of in Jesus. There's nothing else He has to do. He's sitting at the right hand of God. He did the job. And you simply have to appropriate these things into your life. And the first thing that has to happen is you have to hear the good news. See, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And a lot of Christian people have never heard the good news that God doesn't want you sick, and God didn't make you sick, and God's not teaching you a lesson because you, and that's why you are sick, and you're not, it's not because of some awful sin or some generational curse or you deserve it. No, we don't deserve anything as far as why God would do anything for us. It goes back to the fifth thing. He's doing all this stuff for us because He loves us, because He created us, because we're His special creation, because we're the only ones that have a spirit. We're the only ones that are made in His image. We're the ones that without God, we disconnect from Him, because we need God's spirit and our spirit to be joined. And if you come to the Lord Jesus, you're joined with the Lord again, and His life's in you, and His healing's in you, and His peace is in you, and His righteousness is in you. And we need to renew our minds to that. So the very first thing that's happened is I've had the opportunity to bring you this good news. And so this, some of y'all are going to get mad about it and say, well, now, wait a minute now. I knew so-and-so and I'm hurting and all that. But you have to start somewhere. And the first place to start is to understand God's not doing it to you. And then the next thing you got to do is understand you come to God with your sickness the same way you came to God with your sin. And you say, thank you, Jesus, that you bore my sin. And you come to God and you say, thank you, Jesus, that you bore my sicknesses. Can I get an amen? Do me a favor and think on that. Don't turn loose of that. Don't you dare turn loose of that. Listen to this again if you have to. Listen, if you're listening by radio or internet, I want to pray for you. If you're a Christian and you're suffering somewhere in your body, lay your hand on that right now. And I'm going to speak the healing power of God over you right now. And I'm going to declare in the name of Jesus that 2,000 years ago, Jesus bore stripes for our healing. And you don't have to, He's not healing anybody else. He's not healing anybody anymore. He's already healed you. Just like He's not saving anybody anymore, He's already saved you. He already did the job. He said it is finished. And so I'm speaking to anybody that's got their hands laid on a part of their body that's not working right, that, or if you're dealing with depression or sorrow or grief, just lay your hand on your head. And I'm speaking in the name of Jesus, and I'm declaring that not only did Jesus pay for our sins and bear our sins, but He bore our sicknesses, He bore our infirmities, He bore our griefs, He carried our sorrows. And in the name of Jesus, be free, because I'm releasing the healing power of God through me and through my voice to you. And you're receiving it now in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Listen, thank you all again for the opportunity to share this. Tell other people about it. Watch on YouTube, listen on the audio, go to lifeinchristchurch.net for all the information.